Amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bible with you this morning, you can turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And as you do that, let's go before the Lord this morning and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning and we get to pray to you as a father. We are your children. We are the sheep of your pasture. You are the one that has called us. You've saved us. You've regenerated our hearts and you've adopted us as your own. And Lord, now we know you to be a good and gracious Father that loves to shower us with your gifts. Hallowed be your name. May your name be revered and feared and glorified in our lives and in our city and in our world. To you belongs all glory and honor and praise forever. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you for the election of Donald Trump as president. We thank you for this provision of grace for us that will allow Christians in America to be unbothered by governing authorities as we continue the important work of ushering forth your kingdom on earth. We thank you for your sovereign mercy towards us in this. And Lord, we ask for the strength and the wisdom and the zeal to be faithful in this moment in history. May we not relax. May we not grow lazy. May we not retreat, but fill us with passion to raise our children, to make disciples in our church, and to be faithful in our community to proclaim the excellencies of Christ, who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, just as the Israelites in the wilderness waited each day for manna from heaven, help us to daily rely upon you for each and every need that we have. Help us to cast our anxieties and fears on you, and to trust you no matter what. Lord, it is you and you alone that meets our daily needs. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lord, this morning we corporately acknowledge that we have sinned and we have fallen short of your glory. We repent of our sin and we trust in you for the forgiveness of our sins. We praise you and we thank you that you have brought this to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. This is not our own doing. This was a gift of your grace. And Lord, how appropriate, how obvious it is that we would then become a people who run wild and free, offering forgiveness to others. We have been forgiven so much. Help us, enable us, empower us by your Spirit to forgive those who wrong us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, would you keep our church from temptation? Would you guard the hearts of our men from evil and perverse thoughts? And would you guard our women from bitterness and envy? Would you help each of us to flee from the temptation and evil? And finally, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, you have not been silent. You have spoken through your creation, and even more specifically through your word. So would you send your Spirit now, and would you work through the preaching of your word in our hearts? Would you bless our pastor, Chad, as he comes to do this most important work? Would you teach us and correct us? Would you reprove us and train us for righteousness that we might be competent and equipped for every good work? We pray all of these things to you, Father, through your Son, and by the supplication of the Spirit who is with us and who fills us today. Amen. This morning, Chad will be preaching from Genesis chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. God's word says this: "And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, 'This is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.' And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed."
Well, thank you all for joining us this morning to hear me preach. I know that's why you all came. You wouldn't believe this, but Justin's mom and Izzy's mom and dad came all the way from El Paso to hear me preach this morning, if you can imagine it. But there is one thing I found out that you all have to deal with. Izzy's dad is an Alabama fan. And you all have to live with it. Because you know what? There's not just one of us here anymore. There's two of us. And you all have to deal with it. And we had a great day yesterday. So we are smiling from ear to ear. We are enjoying ourselves today, and you all are just going to have to deal with it. No, of course, I know you're not here to hear me preach. You are here because we get to celebrate the honor of observing this covenant being made between Izzy and Justin together. And it is a sweet thing. Marriage is a distinctively Christian gift to the world. I had the honor of attending Dr. Nitzel's father's funeral a couple weeks ago, and at that funeral, they talked about how Dr. Nitzel's father was married to his wife for 67 years. 67 years of faithfulness in marriage. That, church, is a gift that Christianity gives to the world because we understand something about marriage. That marriage is not a contract. It is a covenant. It's a covenant before God. Contracts come and go, but covenants last forever. And this covenant that God has given to us defines what our marriage is. And today we're going to see that marriage reflects three things. It reflects God's promise. Because God has promised to be faithful to us by His grace. And so a covenant that we make in marriage is our commitment to be faithful to the promises that we make. Matthew Henry said, Eve was not made out of his head to top him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected. And near his heart to be beloved. Marriage reflects God's promise to us. But it also reflects God's image because God makes us into one flesh. And we exist in unity just as God exists in unity together. And then thirdly, it reflects Christ's love. Because as Ephesians 5:25 tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This covenantal love that we have in marriage is sacrificial. It's protective. It's purifying. In marriage, each spouse has a responsibility to show a Christ-like love, a love that endures and sanctifies. Marriage is a picture of a heavenly reality. It's a reality of God's enduring promise to us that He has made by the covenant of grace. It's a reality of God's image. Though He is one in essence, He exists in three persons bonded together in love with one another that we have as we coexist in marriage. And it's a reflection of Christ's love who sacrificed Himself for us, dying in our place that we would be beloved by God. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity likened marriage to the tying of a knot, where two people are tied together, he said, not by need or desire alone, but by the commitment to keep their promises. When both partners in a marriage are committed to covenantal faithfulness, marriage becomes an unbreakable bond forged by God's grace. And this is what we saw in Genesis chapter 2. God bound Adam and Eve together in an unbreakable way. And though sin sometimes distorts, sin tempts us to separate, it is the covenantal nature of marriage that keeps us together. It's the covenant that gives us 67 years of faithfulness in marriage. It's not a contract. Contracts come together because of there's a mutual benefit between two parties. And when that benefit no longer exists, contracts can be dissolved. In the world today, we often treat marriage similarly. We remain married as long as it's mutually beneficial, as long as there's mutual desire between us, as long as there's mutual feelings between us. But that's not what marriage is. Marriage is a covenant. And it is a covenant because God designed it that way. God created marriage, not the world. And because God created marriage, He gets to define marriage. You can only assign purpose to a thing if you create it. We don't get to assign purposes to things we did not create. We can discover the purpose of a thing without creating it. We can look at the stars in the heavens and we can discover their purpose through scientific observation. But what we cannot do is assign purpose to those stars because we didn't create them. In the same way, we cannot assign purpose to marriage. We cannot define marriage because we did not create marriage. God did. And God created marriage as a covenantal union between a husband and a wife that reflects, that shines as a mirror. Marriage is not a piece of furniture or a piece of artwork. It's not a piece of artwork that we stare at against the wall. No, a marriage is a mirror. Your marriage is meant to be reflective. And what does it reflect? Well, I've said it already. It reflects God's promise. No more can we break the covenant bonds of marriage than God can break His bond of covenant faithfulness to you that He has made through Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we know because we live in a fallen world, there are times, unfortunately so, that the bonds of marriage break. But that's not how God designed them to exist. No, in your marriage, you should reflect the same covenantal commitment to your spouse that God has expressed toward you through the faithfulness of the promise of grace He has made to you. Despite your failings, despite the failings of your spouse, we have made a covenant together. It also reflects God's image, as I said. It shows a oneness and a unity. Here in marriage, God brings together two individuals, not just two individuals, but two sinners, no less, and makes them one flesh, physically and spiritually. We are one flesh. And the unity that we share, although fallen and broken by sin, that unity is reflective of God's character, who exist as one, but in three persons. Now, in marriage, you may be surprised to know, Justin, Isabel, there's going to be times that you may wake up and struggle with your spouse. They may or may not annoy you. Now, what I can say is this has never happened to Meredith. She's never woken up annoyed by me or disappointed by me. No, of course that's not true. I would imagine it's a daily occurrence that she wakes up annoyed by me. And yet, despite that, despite our failings, our sins against one another, we are one together. Because that's the way God has designed us to be. And in that way, we reflect God's image. And when we separate and when we break, we distort the image of God that our marriage is meant to reflect. And then, as I said, as a mirror, it reflects Christ's love. In marriage, we sacrifice for one another. We protect one another. We purify one another. We show to one another a Christ-like love. Now, when writing about Christ's love, Puritan John Owen said that Christ's love is a boundless, bottomless love. A love that bore the weight of all our sins. And when we mirror this love in marriage, we show the world a glimpse of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This love that goes beyond self-interest, self-fulfillment, and instead displays God's faithfulness and sacrificial union and sacrificial service to one another. In these ways, church family, your marriage, if you are married, or if you're not married and you long to be married one day, know that this is how God has designed marriage to be. An earthly picture of a heavenly reality. And as God has covenanted with us, promising to never leave us, never forsake us, so should we reflect this covenant faithfulness in marriage. The passage that Garrett read for us from Genesis 2, we see on display in this very first wedding ceremony a profound mystery. The establishment of marriage as a reflection of God's own nature. Not a contract, but a divine covenant that calls us to self-giving love, steadfast faithfulness, and unity together. So we need to be reminded this morning, as we have the privilege of watching these two join together in this covenantal union, we need to see that the commitments that they are making and the commitments that we have made as husbands and wives, they are commitments first and foremost before God. While we are all glad that you are here and thankful that you're here to observe this wedding ceremony, as unconventional as it may be, we're glad that you're here. But what I want you to know is that you're not the most important person here. The most important person here today is God. He is observing this. He is watching over this. He's watching what takes place. This commitment that they are about to make and that you have made in your own wedding vows is a commitment that you make for each other and before God, to whom we hold the highest responsibility to uphold the vows that we make. And making these commitments before God, it's not a burden. It's a privilege. Marriage is a gift. Marriage is a blessed gift that God has given to us. And it's a distinctly Christian gift that we give to the world. That's not to say that non-Christians do not get to partake of the blessing of marriage. They do. And yet, it is still a distinctly Christian gift to the world. Non-Christians can also be faithful in their marriage, of course. But that faithfulness in marriage is a byproduct of the definition and the purpose that God gave to marriage in the very beginning. It is a distinctly Christian gift that God gives to the world. And it is a privilege. It's a joy. This mirror-bearing responsibility that we have in marriage to reflect God's promise to the world, to reflect God's image to the world, to reflect Christ's love to the world, is a wonderful, wonderful privilege and responsibility that God has given to you. So embrace it. Embrace it with joy, married couples. Strengthen your marriage, not just for your sake alone, though it will be beneficial for your sake. Strengthen it for the sake of God's glory in the world. So that when people wonder about the steadfastness of God's love toward His people, they can look at your marriage and see that's how faithful God is to His people. 67 years of enduring faithfulness to one spouse in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health. That's how faithful God is. Or you can display to the world through this joyful privilege the unity that God has as the triune God. How is it that God exists as one in essence and three in persons? Well, look at their marriage. They don't always agree, but they're unified. They work together. They love one another. They serve each other. It's a beautiful unity, just like God is. How did God bring these two sinners together and make them so inseparably unified? It's a mystery. Just as God in Himself is a mystery. And what about Christ's love? Well, serve as that mirror, husbands and wives, of Christ's love. Willing to sacrifice, even at the expense of yourself, for the sake of your spouse. So when the world says, how deep is Christ's love for us? How far is He willing to go? Well, look at that couple. Look at how much sacrifice and service they make for each other. They bear with one another. And in so doing, we reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. Church, marriage has fallen out of esteem in our culture. We are here to restore it. Christ has given us the responsibility to restore it. Make it beautiful. Make it good. Show the treasure of it in your marriages. And those of you who are not married, as you pray for God's wisdom and help, as He calls you into this union, have this picture of marriage in your minds. This is not a contract. It's a covenant. It's not a burden. It's a privilege. It's not artwork. It's a mirror for you to display not just your love for one another, but to display the glory of God and the promises He has made and the image He has revealed and the love that He has shown to you in Jesus Christ. Be a reflection. And all of us, whether married or unmarried, let's hold fast to this truth that marriage is God's covenantal design and purpose. It's a reflection of His eternal love for us, who is His bride. We are the bride of Christ, joined together with God through covenantal union that He will never, ever forsake. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank You for the gift You have given us in marriage. We thank You for the beauty that it is, the privilege that it is, and the joy that it is. Lord, we thank You for the purpose You have revealed to us in marriage and how, God, You have called us in these relationships to reflect Your love. Would You now strengthen us to uphold this covenant in a world that, Lord, has put marriage out of esteem, that no longer sees it as sacred. Lord, that only sees it as burdensome or contractual. Instead, God, may we uphold the beauty of marriage, and may our marriages reflect the faithfulness of your love, and may our lives show the beauty of this covenant you have made. For Justin and for Isabel, as they, Lord, commit to this covenantal union, we thank you for their love for one another. We thank you for your love for them and their love for you. Would you strengthen them now in the bonds of this covenantal love, that God, they would be faithful to the covenant they are about to make in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health. Lord, in times of abundance and times of leanness, Lord, may their commitment to this covenant never waver. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Well, at this time, I'm going to ask Justin to come down front and join me here at the front. Church, would you all please stand? What a wonderful day it is. We are so thankful to God for you both and what you are about to partake in. But before you take her hand in marriage, this beautiful bride must be given away. Who gives this woman away to be married?
Her mother.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this sweet blessing. And we ask for your kind grace upon us this day. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, you can all be seated. Well, you can turn and face one another, and you can hold hands as well. And I'm going to ask you to affirm a set of vows by saying, I do. Justin, I'm going to begin with you. And then Isabel, I will turn to you and ask you to affirm these vows as well. I'm just trying to get out of the way from all of the pictures. So you can just look at one another. I'm just trying to avoid being in the way. So do pictures look good from here? Yeah, I think so. Justin, do you take Isabel to be your wife? Do you purpose to sacrificially love her as Christ loved the church, to be her spiritual leader and protector? And do you promise to love, honor, trust, and serve her in sickness and in health, in adversity and prosperity, and be true and loyal to her and her alone, so long as you both shall live? Isabel, do you take Justin to be your husband? Do you purpose to be his helpmate and sacrificially submit to his leadership in all things? And do you promise to love, honor, trust, and serve him in sickness and in health, in adversity and prosperity, and be true and loyal to him and him alone, so long as you both shall live? Now, do you have your rings? Well, Justin, will you take Isabel's ring and place it on her left ring finger? And as you do, will you repeat after me? As an expression and in celebration of the commitment of love I have made to you, I give you this ring in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Isabel, will you take Justin's ring and place it on his left ring finger and repeat after me? As an expression and in celebration of the commitment of love I have made to you, I give you this ring in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray again. Blessed God, in the light of the covenant that they have made before you, would you keep them in your love so that they may always live as heirs with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, family, friends, church family, since they have made these commitments before God and this assembly by the authority of God, I declare that Justin and Isabel are husband and wife. Justin and Isabel, in light of the vows you have made today before God, I announce with the words of Jesus, you are no longer two, but one flesh. And what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Justin, you may now kiss your bride. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Isabel and Justin Rodriguez. Now, Justin and Isabel, they are going to head over to the school area, and there is a small reception for friends and family for Justin and Isabel that we are hosting over there in the schoolroom. Church family, they would love for you to come by and say hello, but don't eat. Don't eat. I know how all of you are. Go by, shake their hands, tell them congratulations, but don't touch any food. So let's celebrate them once again. You guys. And church, as we close, would you all stand with us? It has been a wonderful day today, and we thank God for his kindness to us. So if you would, let's lift our hands, our hearts, and our voices, and let's praise God together. Let's hear these words from God. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And together, church, we say,
amen.
Amen. Have a wonderful Lord's Day.